Good morning. It is time to get up with no rest for the weary. The boys back at it tomorrow. Can they recapture their magic in time to save Thanksgiving? Plus, New York makes a giant move. But is it just the beginning of a total overhaul for Big Blue? And then, oh no, he's got a toe. Aaron explains the deal with his digit, and it doesn't sound good. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. We have a ton of football to get to this morning, college and pro, and we will in just a moment. I am Greeny, but we begin in the only place we can today. If you love sports, last night was a very special night. It certainly was for all of us at ESPN, as the great Dick Vitale was back behind the mic for the first time this year, for the first time since being diagnosed with cancer. And before the game, he was emotional.
Great being here, Dick. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want to thank all you people. Sent me so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable. On October 12th, Obi, I'll be honest with you, when they walked in and told me I had cancer, they thought it was mild duct cancer, and it was really going to be a serious surgery and all. I never dreamt at 82 that I'll ever be on courtside again, but to be here today, I'm sorry. I hope I don't cause a problem out there, but I feel so emotional.
He had nothing to apologize for. The voice of college basketball was back, and it was awesome last night. And he had one versus two, Gonzaga versus UCLA, but this one was no contest. Right from the jump, Gonzaga's Juke Timmy with the block. Now we're going the other way. This is Andrew Nembhard knocking down a three. Gonzaga up 13, and they were just getting started. Their diaper dandy, to use Dick's phrase, is Chet Holmgren, the freshman. Oh, look at him getting up and blocking Peyton Watson there. Gonzaga up 20 at the half, and then more from the kid Holmgren. Look at him playing defense on one end, but he's not done. He's running the floor, and take a look. Look at this freshman taking it to the hole and throwing it down. Dickie V, what do you think?
Oh, come on, America! America, get the Notre Dame! Chet Holmgren, are you serious? Wow, we're talking to diaper daddy, a kid out of high school.
So good. Holmgren, 15.6 boards, four blocks. Gonzaga, a statement win, 83-63. It's the second time this year Gonzaga's faced a top five team, and they've come away with two double-digit wins. They beat Texas by a dozen on November 13th. This early season gauntlet continues for them. They will take on fifth-ranked Duke in Las Vegas on Friday. But great to have Dick Vitale back. Now, back to the NFL, where the Cowboys will host the Raiders tomorrow, 4 days after failing to score a touchdown for the first time this season in a loss to Kansas City. There were all kinds of problems, and the quarterback was certainly in the middle of some of them. Dak Prescott, not his usual self, committing a season-high three turnovers, two picks, and a fumble. He had a QBR of 10. That was the lowest in any game in his career. And the Cowboys just ignored the run, rushing just 16 times against a Chiefs defense that entered allowing 4.5 yards per carry. Yesterday, Jerry Jones talked about the Cowboys' inability to establish the run.
He has struggled when we didn't establish our running game, and we couldn't get that running game solid so that we could work off that running game. We went into this game thinking we'd run the ball two-thirds of the time. When you get compromised by how you're executing, then what can happen to you against Denver and what can happen to you against Kansas City? Very similar situation.
And our football squad is ready to go. You see, Satchel got up with us here. Rob Ninkovich is up early with us this morning. We got the little green and green combination here with Kimberly Martin and Kmart. I will start with you, because you were the only one who had it right last week. We all were talking about how last week's game was a referendum on the Chiefs.
Right.
You said it was about the Cowboys, and they kind of got it handed to them. What do we say about them now headed into Thanksgiving?
I don't say anything different. I think they're still a very good team, one of the best teams in the NFC. I think Dak is still an MVP caliber player. I think we've seen this season a bunch of good teams have lost really bad games. So, and they've got some reinforcements coming.
Well, who was actually coming? Let's get to that, because the health is a big factor.
Here's the issue. So yes. Zeke Elliott hurt his knee, but he's expected to play tomorrow.
Right.
He practiced fully, although it was a light practice. And CeeDee Lamb, concussion protocol,
right.
But they're optimistic that he will play. He's just got to clear some tests Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and again tomorrow. And big news, Tyron Smith, their left tackle, he's expected to play. He's missed three games with an ankle injury. So all trending in the right direction. Obviously, no Amari Cooper.
They will not have Amari Cooper because he's unvaccinated and thus is in COVID protocol. So your concerns are minimal.
Yes.
Sacho, how would you describe your level of concern for the Cowboys going into a Thanksgiving date with Las Vegas?
Yeah, my level of concern is minimal as well. Think about this. The Cowboys only play one more team with a winning record, during the rest of the regular season. So what we saw against Kansas City was they ran into a buzzsaw. They ran into a defense that's playing playoff caliber, really Super Bowl caliber defense. Kansas City, over the last four games, has given up just under 12 points a game. Over the first six or so, they were giving up 29. And so what the Cowboys saw was a team that is really and could be in the Super Bowl. Regular season, the Cowboys will be fine. Nothing to worry about. But the Cowboys need to improve when it comes to getting ready for December, getting ready for January, and even February football.
I kind of like that phrasing, by the way. They only play one more ranked team. I know that's a college expression, but I kind of like it. We could use that here. There's no reason it doesn't apply. But, you know, Nico, you made an interesting point. If someone might say, well, this past weekend, maybe it'll be a wake-up call for the Cowboys, what would you say?
I thought that the Broncos game was the wake-up call, right? And then they play the Falcons, whatever you think about the Falcons.
Well, they're terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Wow.
So they basically have split games. They've lost to the Broncos, but everything of the Broncos.
Right.
Then they beat the Falcons, which we know what the Falcons are. Then they lose to Kansas City, a team that we all think, and I was high on Kansas City. I picked Kansas City to win that matchup. But if you go back to the Cowboys and their issues that they're having, when they were winning, they were running the football. They had two running backs on pace for 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Now they're not on track for 1,000 yards. Pollard's not on track for 1,000 yards.
Right.
So when I look at the Cowboys and the issues that they're having, if you're one-dimensional and you're putting too much on Dak's plate, of course you're going to have issues. And you see the worst game that he's ever had passing this season. Mm-hmm. Through two interceptions, no touchdowns, they're not running the football. On their six-game winning streak, they were running the football. They were leading the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
Now they're not doing that.
Hembo just had the stat up there, 167
yes.
yards a game while they were winning those games. And the thing that frustrated, I know myself and a lot of other people watching it, was they were never out of that game. That was never more than a two-score game.
Yep.
And yet they themselves abandoned the run. They made themselves one-dimensional. I know as a linebacker, that's got to drive you crazy.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When you can't stop the run, it is demoralizing as a defense when you realize, like, we can't do anything here. We cannot stop the run. And then that's when they sprinkle in your play action pass, and that really beats you up. So if they want to have success in December, they're going to have to get back to that running game.
Yeah, that's the way it feels to me. So we'll see what winds up happening. Cowboys and Raiders will play tomorrow. So there's some questions about their new coach. Now we get to their old coach, and that's Jason Garrett, who was yesterday let go in New York. The big shakeup, the Giants firing their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, just hours after a Monday night meltdown in Tampa. They were coming off a bye. They managed just 215 total yards and 10 points in a terrible-looking loss to the Buccaneers. And the only touchdown came on a series where they were set up inside the 10-yard line. Garrett was in the midst of his second season in the job. The team struggled under him, ranking in the bottom three in the league in scoring and yards and third downs. They scored 42 offensive touchdowns in 26 games under Garrett, the fewest in the NFL. So there's so many different pieces of this. And I guess the first question I would have, Kmart, is the people in New York, if you listen to the talk shows and all that, they wonder, is just this the beginning of what is going to be a complete overhaul? People talking about the head coach, they're talking about the quarterback, they're talking about the general manager.
Can you really rule out a massive overhaul when you look at this Giants team? You can't. Would it surprise me if they did make some wholesale changes in the offseason? No. Because when you look at the job Dave Gettleman has done, you don't look at this roster and think, wow, the Giants are close to being not just playoff contenders, super, they seem to be regressing. They seem to be going backwards. We don't know anything about Daniel Jones. This feels very Sam Darnold-y, which is the worst thing you want if you're a New York franchise.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean? And
that's
not, and that's not a knock against him, but it's like you don't know what you have. And that's the problem. Like, the kid has 49 touchdowns to 49 turnovers. Like, you can't win like that. And that's not just Jason Garrett.
It's not, but it was his job coming in there to help develop the quarterback. I don't really know exactly what to make of this, but Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, has more touchdown receptions this year than Kenny Golladay, who is their high-priced wide receiver free agent acquisition, or Kadarius Toney, who was a first-round draft pick at wide receiver. That is a terrible state of affairs. Does the blame for that belong with the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, but it also goes to the head coach. Mm-hmm. And when you play dominoes, you're not just playing with one piece.
Yeah.
So when one falls, then maybe others fall as well. So when you look at just what they're doing as a whole, they're also not taking advantage of Barkley, who's been hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really build the offensive line to be that.
They're always fixing the offensive line. That's part of the problem.
Well, they fixed the offensive line, though. So when you look at the team as a whole, it's not just – and I almost feel bad for Daniel Jones because you put all this on him.
Thanks.
But what about the inconsistencies with coaching? And what about the inconsistencies with offensive coordinators?
Right.
And when you're a young player in the NFL, you are kind of susceptible to the influence of the coaches that are around you. So the quarterback could definitely be in a bad spot because of different factors that influence his career.
I will answer your previous question. They have addressed the offensive line. They definitely haven't fixed it.
Right.
They address it every single year, and every year it manages to get worse. I have no idea how they do that. Sacho, let me come to you on that, because Daniel Jones does feel like the most interesting piece to me in all of this. Do you believe he is the Giants quarterback next season?
I think for next season, that's what these next few weeks will see. The reason you fire an offensive coordinator is to see if you can have a fix. The season is not lost according to playoff standards just yet. There's still a chance. And so if Daniel Jones doesn't get it together under Freddie Kitchens over these next few weeks, then there's a high likelihood that the Giants could go and get a different quarterback next year. But that's the reason why you fire an offensive coordinator. Last year alone, the Giants were 31st when it comes to points per game in the NFL. And this year hasn't been much better. And so now you say, okay, Garrett, that was your issue. Now we're going to put it on Daniel Jones. Freddie Kitchens, can you help solve the problem? And if there's still issues, then obviously you have to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I didn't mention it, but Freddie Kitchens, the former head coach in Cleveland, will now be calling the plays, although Joe Judge sort of intimated he might have some role in that as well.
He said it's going to be a collaborative effort by all. Which
that sounds just awful.
It's worth a shot, I guess. What else you got to lose?
It can't look a lot worse than it looked on Monday night. We'll see where they go from here. Meanwhile, I just on the day before Thanksgiving, I thought I would share with you a very controversial take from a very good player. Listen to the Patriots' Matthew Judon on macaroni and cheese.
Get this guy out of here.
We got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Let's be honest, guys. Everybody's probably here. It's a little lactose, so it messes up our stomachs. And we got to get it off the table. It's probably one of the most overrated dishes.
Okay, you know what needs to go from the table? Him. Get him away from the cookout. He is uninvited. He cannot come at all. That might be worse than anything Dan Orlovsky has said about food.
So we're a mac and cheese fan on this side of the table.
Oh, my God, yes. Why do you think
How about over here?
I mean, it depends on the mac and cheese.
It depends on who is cooking it.
Yes,
clearly.
Exactly.
So I'm a mac and cheese fan.
I got to go with Nani Burris, you know, my the family recipe. If I make my mac
who
and cheese.
Who was that?
Nani Burris, my wife's grandmother. So
okay,
anyway.
Fair enough. Well, you said that like it's something everyone would know.
I was missing all of this.
Like, you know, Louisiana type style macaroni and cheese, a lot of flavor.
Sacho, cast a final vote. Yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down on macaroni and cheese?
Sacho, tread carefully.
Man, thumbs up all the way. The disrespect that Matt Judon just put on macaroni and cheese, that might be the hottest take I've ever heard on any station ever.
Come on, you need another reason to root against the Patriots. No offense.
I mean,
all right, as we continue in just a moment, just call them the Bad News Bears. What the actual heck is going on in Chicago, particularly with the coach? We will get you the very latest details. A warning, they're not pretty. Plus, the stakes could not be higher for Ohio State and Michigan this weekend. But what if I told you this game could eventually become meaningless? We'll explain that coming up. And don't forget my poll question today, brought to you by the ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Which do you think is the best available college coaching job, LSU, USC, or Florida? You can vote on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Results as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are brought to you by Novo Nordisk. Ask your healthcare provider about Ozempic today. All right, new college football playoff rankings came out last night. Georgia, no surprise, on top for a fourth consecutive week. They're going to take on Alabama for the SEC championship. They have a game against Georgia Tech between now and then. At number two is Ohio State. After their convincing 49-point win over Michigan State, C.J. Stroud throwing for 6 touchdowns, so they jump up to 2. Alabama falls to 3. First time the Crimson Tide have dropped in the CFP rankings despite coming off a win, but they're still in good position. And then the really big story. The door is open for Cincinnati, jumping over Oregon as the first Group of 5 team ever to sit in a top 4 spot at any point in these rankings. Now, Georgia is basically a lock to get in. Let's not talk about them. Cincinnati at 66% has the second best chance to make it, according to our analytics. And you see all the rest of them up there, but Cincinnati feels like the big one to me, and that's where I want to start the conversation as we bring Heather and Paul in with us here, and Sacho as well. Good morning, guys. Heather, let me just start directly there with you. The second I saw that come up there last night, the immediate question comes to mind. If Cincinnati wins out, are they, in your mind, a lock to get into the playoff?
No, they're not a lock, because we have seen conference championship games change this picture. Remember, in the very first year of the college football playoff, TCU dropped from number 3 to number 6. When you look at Cincinnati, they need to be concerned about Oklahoma State. And I say that, Greeny, because Oklahoma State can punctuate its resume against two possibly top 10 teams. They've got Oklahoma in Bedlam, and they can either play Oklahoma again or Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. Meanwhile, Cincinnati can punctuate its resume against the top 25, number 24 right now, Houston, in the American Athletic Conference championship game. We'll see how it plays out. We have seen one-loss conference champions be left out before. It happened to Ohio State. So they're in a great spot, but not a lock.
I think that's fascinating. And yeah, I'm looking at it here. Oklahoma State right now, Oklahoma is at number 10 and Baylor is at number 8. And we would see where Baylor would be next week if it comes down to that. So, Sacho, let me ask you the same question about them. Does Oklahoma State control its own destiny? If they win these last two games, in your mind, are they assured of getting in?
Yeah, I think they are, right? Oklahoma State is already in the top 10. And so they play two more top-ranked opponents. And if they win handily against Oklahoma, which is ranked number 10, and then they win handily against Baylor, which at that point, Baylor might be 6, Baylor might even be 7. Now, all of a sudden, just as Heather said, you add that to your already strong resume. And so that's one piece. The second piece is the people in front of Oklahoma State could lose as well. Alabama may lose in the SEC championship game to Georgia. That could be a 2-loss team that's out. That's number one. Number two, you look at Ohio State and Michigan. There's so much that's going to happen in these next few weeks. And so let's say Michigan wins. Now you have a 2-loss Ohio State team. Let's say Ohio State wins and somehow loses in the Big Ten championship. That's another spot that will be open for an Oklahoma State team that could very well win the Big 12.
Yeah, I would caution everyone to not overlook Wisconsin to coming out of the other side of the Big Ten for whoever it is they wind up playing a week from now, whether that's Michigan or Ohio State. Paul, let me then come to you on Alabama. And someone asked me this question today. I'll ask it to you. If Alabama could get in with two losses, which we don't think is an impossibility, which game could they better afford to lose? Are they better off losing to Auburn and then beating Georgia and trying to get in as a two-loss conference champion? Or are they better off losing to Georgia in the conference championship game and thus having lost to the number one team in the country? I guess I'm saying to you, which game could they better afford to lose and still have a shot?
Greeny, they better not lose either one, in my opinion, because the Auburn game helps them a little bit because they would have a championship over the number one team in the country, but it still puts them at a disadvantage, having lost to a five-loss Auburn team. But clearly, if you had to pick, they're better off losing to Auburn because the last thing on their resume would be a win over the number one team in the country, the undisputed and indisputable best team that we've seen. It would also be a championship. And when this committee gets together for the final time, as Heather has said repeatedly, those championship data points really matter.
Okay. And so then I want to bring up one other thing. There's nothing I love more than aggravating my friend, Mr. Feinbaum, so I will do it. You know, all this talk about expanding the playoff and everything else that everyone's all excited about and clearly seems to be right around the corner. This Saturday, we have a game that is every bit as significant as any championship game could ever be. Ohio State-Michigan, the game, means every bit as much as the, you know, CFP semifinals are going to mean. When they expand this thing to 12 teams, Paul, this game this weekend would be next to meaningless. Outside of the rivalry factor, it would be next to meaningless. And that, I think, is a real threat to the fabric, what has made college football so great for so long. And so I caution all of you who are jumping all over this 12-team playoff to beware. Paul, what do you think?
Well, Greeny, you're right. It would be meaningless in the sense of getting into the playoff. But we see this in the NFL. We still see critically important games at the end of the season. And why are they important? You know why. Because they set up positioning for the playoff. And even though this game, the winner would not necessarily determine anything other because they would both go to the playoff, the winner of the game would be in a position perhaps for a first round bye, perhaps for a home field. And that kind of thing really does matter.
Heather, let me come to you then on that thought quickly, and we'll just get into the significance of it. Ohio State or Michigan, do they need to win out? I guess what I'm asking you is, could either of these teams lose the Big Ten championship game and still get in?
I don't believe so, because Michigan's loss to Michigan State now looks much worse. Ohio State's loss to Oregon now looks much worse. And to have two lost Big Ten champ, I think they're on the outside looking in.
All right, there is still, we got 2 weeks left, and we got so much to figure out here. We will do more on this in a little bit here on this program. And Sacha, we'll get your thoughts on some of these. I'm up against a break. Guys, sit tight. As we continue in just a moment, Aaron Rodgers providing more insight into his mysterious toe injury. And it's not what Packer fans are going to want to hear. You'll hear that message coming up in a moment. Plus, what a mess in the Windy City. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it does. What is going on with the Bears and their head coach? We'll try and get to the bottom of all of that as we continue Get Up This Morning, which is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Don't forget to vote for which team you think will be the Dr. Pepper One Final Team by using hashtag One Final Team.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and the LeBron-less Lakers at the Garden last night. He was serving a suspension as the Lakers took on the Knicks. Second quarter, Knicks up 15, and here we go. Oh, quickly throws it up, and Obi Toppin throws it down. Toppin had 12 off the bench, and the Knicks led by 25 in the second quarter. But now the Lakers are making a little bit of a comeback. That's Avery Bradley with the corner three. He had 15. Lakers a 16-4 run. Third quarter, Lakers continuing the momentum. Now they're running. Russell Westbrook, give it up. Anthony Davis, knock it down. He had 20. It's a three-point game. Just under 2 minutes left in the third now. Lakers are down 5. Russell Westbrook, so much more comfortable on the floor with LeBron not there. He had 18 of his 31 in the third. Lakers within 2. Now, we're turning defense into offense. Westbrook, Carmelo, yes, we're tied at 79. Lakers actually had a two-point lead going to the fourth, but the Knicks would own the fourth quarter. Under 6 to go, Knicks by 6. That's quickly knocking down a 3. He had 14. Next, Knicks possession. Quickly had 12 of those in the fourth quarter as he gets the shooter's roll there. Knicks avoid the collapse to the delight of Spike Lee and Latrell Sprewell. They get the win. The Lakers fall to under 500 and ninth as we speak in the Western Conference. That was the sixth out of their 19 games they've played this year that they've trailed by at least 25 points. That equals their total from all of last year. It's tied with the Magic and Rockets for most in the NBA. We'll talk about that on Countdown tonight, 7 Eastern, here on ESPN. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Let's play a little Thanksgiving game edition of More or Less. Ninko, more or less, Dak Prescott, 2.5 passing touchdowns against Vegas.
I'm going with more. And I say that because last week, him having none, he's got to have better than that, right? I mean, they're going to have to go out there and they have to put some stats up there. So I think that he's going to throw for 3. That's where I'm at right now.
Raiders defense has been struggling of late, so we'll see if Dak gets it going. Kimberly Martin, more or less, Josh Allen, 2.5 total touchdowns against New Orleans.
I mean, at some point, Bills have to play well, right? So I'm going to say more Greeny because 2 weeks ago, Matt Ryan threw 2 touchdowns against the Saints. Josh Allen has thrown 2 touchdowns in his last 2 games. So, yeah, 2.5 doesn't sound too
bad. We'll see. The Eagles just ran all over the Saints. We'll see if Allen's able to throw it against them. Finally, Sacho, Bears, Lions. How about if I give you more or less 76.5 rushing yards for David Montgomery? Which way do we go?
We're going more. The reason why is that the Lions have the 31st worst run defense in the NFL, giving up 140 yards a game, number one. Number two, we know the Bears love to run the ball, especially now that Justin Fields isn't going to play. They're going to give the ball to David Montgomery and let Andy Dalton do his thing in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions have no wins, and the Bears are starting Andy Dalton. I can't imagine, candidly, a worse game on Thanksgiving, but that's what we have for us tomorrow. And then we have hovering above all of this, the subplot of the coaching tenure of Matt Nagy in Chicago, who yesterday had to address a report that he had already been told he would be fired after tomorrow's game. Here's what he said.
Matt, there's a report today that you've been informed that this will be your last game as president.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's my job as a head coach and a leader, is to do that.
All right, and there were all sorts of other reports out there about things that are happening behind the scenes there. Kimberly, I know you're making phone calls. What is your sense of the very tenuous status of Matt Nagy in Chicago?
If you talk to people around the league, it's the expectation that he's done. The question is just, when do they officially let him go? It's this dead man walking kind of feeling when you talk to people. And so for right now, yeah, he's the head coach, but you don't feel good. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, I can imagine you don't feel good about the state of this franchise.
Well, I will turn to a Chicago Bears fan right here, Rob Ninkovich, the pride of Joliet, Illinois. And, you know,
I could do it a Bears voice, but I won't do that
no,
right now.
No, it's too serious, Nico.
It
is what it is. It's the man's job, and this is part and parcel of being a head coach in the NFL. Things can go this way, and that's where he finds himself today. The thing I always wonder about is, you know, those of us on the outside, when this kind of craziness is going, I just imagine just abject chaos going on inside the building. When you're a player on that team and there are reports that your coach has already been told he's getting fired Friday, what's actually going on in the building?
I mean, honestly, I've been in that situation. 2007, I was with the lonely, terrible Dolphins, the 1-15 Dolphins. And I remember a discussion I had with Randy Mueller. Rick brought me into the Saints, and then Randy was the GM for Miami, and I got cut there. So he brought me in, and I had a discussion with him. And I was asking him about playing time because I wasn't playing at all. And they were 0-10 at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and he said, listen, everyone's going to be gone. I brought you here. Coaches are going to be gone. Everyone's going to be gone. Well, even the GM was gone after that. So everybody
he
was
He told
fired.
You to be patient. And then
he was done.
Yes,
yeah.
He said, be patient. I brought you in here. We're going to have to wait this thing out. A new regime is going to come in, and then that'll be your opportunity. Well, then they all got fired, and then Parcells came in. That was my opportunity,
yeah.
But it didn't work out. But that's the situation. When you're in a team where the head coach might be gone and you're the player, you're just focused on your career. You're mm-hmm. trying to maximize the time that you have on the field to where if you have another opportunity, usually the coaching staffs, when they leave, the players, there's a different staff that comes in and they have a different mindset right, with type of personalities they want on the team.
Yeah, everyone's got to kind of watch out for themselves. Sacho, you played for that team. You played a season under Matt Nagy in Chicago. What is your sense of all this?
I have two senses. The first one is the report is, in my opinion, false and erroneous, right? Because the McCaskey family would never, first of all, tell a coach you're going to fire him and then go ahead and coach this last game. No one does that. No owner, nobody. It doesn't make any sense. If you're fired, you're fired. So I think that report is false. But the bigger issue is this. A change would happen, but not in the middle of a season. Last year, we saw the Bears go on a 5, maybe even a 6 game losing streak, punctuated by a big loss to the Packers. That was probably the closest that this team was to making a midseason change. Then all of a sudden, last year, they went on a 4 or 5 game winning streak and made the playoffs. Now this year, again, you're seeing a long losing streak. And yes, they may make a change, may make find a way to start winning games towards this last part of the season. But still, I think a change needs to be made at the end of the season. Right now, if you try and put an interim coach there, I don't think the Bears have the personnel to fill that interim position.
No, I mean, the situation is just as bad as it could be all the way around when you consider this was a team that was put together to win now. Despite the fact that they brought in the rookie quarterback, they gave the coach and the general manager 1 year, sort of a prove it 1 year. And here they are sitting here at 3-7, and they're not even playing the rookie quarterback because he's got an injury to the rib. So we'll see where they wind up going. That's sort of near the bottom. Well, those two teams at the bottom of that division. Let's go to the top of the division. Our next stop is Green Bay, where the Packers are coming off a loss to Minnesota, and Aaron Rodgers is nursing an ailing toe. Yesterday, he made his regular appearance on Pat McAfee's show and talked about the injury and how it's affecting him.
I feel similar to how I felt last Tuesday. You know, this is something that's not going to go away. I'm not sure what the bye week's going to look like. There's a lot of options on the table. One option that's not on the table is sitting out. Naturally, I'm leading people to understand that if it's worse than turf toe, there must be some sort of bone issue. Again, it's better the fifth toe than the first toe.
I love that he calls it the fifth toe and the first toe as opposed to the pinky toe and the big toe. But the fact that it is a pinky toe, how does that impact your thinking of it, Sacha? I mean, Ninko.
I mean, it's a pinky toe. What are they for? For stubbing on dressers and stuff. Like, I don't think it's...
Okay, but it wouldn't be here
toe.
If
it's,
you didn't need
it's
it.
It's a pinky.
It's there
like,
for
this,
a reason.
You really don't need the pinky.
It's a valuable appendage.
Not really.
Do not sell short the significance of the pinky toe. Sacha, I can't believe I'm asking this question. But the fact that it is a pinky toe, does that change your perspective on the significance of the injury?
No, it doesn't. I mean, this injury in a lot of ways is significant, whether it's a turf toe, a pinky toe, no matter what metatarsal it is, it's going to be significant. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't care. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. Aaron Rodgers, like, I've played against him year in and year out. Whenever he has, whether it's a knee injury, a toe injury, foot injury, he'll get the ball out quick and he'll find a way to not necessarily win games, but find a way to keep his team in games and not hurt his team, number one. The bigger issue that this team needs to care about, number two, it's not within the organization, it's outside. It's the Minnesota Vikings, the team that just beat them last week. Minnesota is 2.5 games back, yet they are rising right now. The close games that they lost were just that. They were close games. And if you look at this FPI index, Minnesota, I see a win, 49ers, a win against the Lions. You could beat the Steelers. You could beat the Bears, right? Like, if I'm the Vikings, I'm excited. Whereas if I'm the Packers, I'm not as excited about this Minnesota football team.
Yeah, well, let's get back to Green Bay this for a minute here, because however valuable you may think the pinky toe is, Ninko, here's what I can tell you. He's lost his left tackle. He doesn't have Bakhtiari coming back. He's got a toe, and he's got Aaron Donald coming to town this week off a bye. How would you describe the state of the Green Bay Packers right now?
Well, I'm not worried about them. We'll find out in December where they're at as a team. But
I think next week.
Donald would be more of an issue than the toe to me, especially if you're missing some pieces at the front in your offensive line. So, you know, the toe thing.
He needs that toe.
I just wonder if you wanted to know. Kimberly, can we talk about this? This morning in the meeting, Ninko said, just cut the toe off. He actually said that. Just cut the toe off.
That's such a linebacker thing to say.
If it came down to it, it's not like a toe that you need balance. You don't need it.
It is a toe you need. It wouldn't be there if you didn't need it for something. You were selling short. You're selling well short the significance of the pinky toe. Kimberly.
Yes.
I don't even know what I'm asking you here.
I don't know either. I want all my toes.
That's the sense of the Packers here again.
Yes.
They don't have the offensive line is in problems. We got the Rodgers of it all. We got him talking, you know, emotionally about how good it has felt to be welcome back to this team. They're trying to win a championship, and they got the Rams coming to town. Where are we in Green Bay?
I'm not worried about the Packers. I'm worried about Aaron Donald. Don't get me wrong. I would feel a lot better about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers' toe if he weren't playing Aaron Donald this week. But there's something about Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, not the COVID researcher, the quarterback that I trust, right? No matter what the circumstances are, this team has found ways to win in a variety of ways without their top receivers, like without top offensive line pieces. So this is still a good team. And like Nick said, and Acho said, like Aaron finds a way.
Okay, one way or another, I'm going to get a medical professional on this program to explain to you the significance of the pinky toe. I'm telling you, it is an important, in the big scheme of things, it's very important. In the meantime, I need you to see what happened yesterday. So this is going to be Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Zach Bogosian celebrating a 4-0 win over the Flyers as only he can. He is eating a turkey with his bare hands.
Why?
That doesn't look good.
He had a goal.
Is that cooked?
Would you do that, Ninko?
It looks cold. You know, like a cold piece of chicken.
Ninko.
Like kind of gets.
Ninko, you've probably done that before, Ninko. Let's just be real, Ninko.
He's
you probably have done that
barbarian.
Before.
Don't let the beard fool you. I'm very civilized. I use utensils.
I feel like if anyone on this panel was going to do that, that would be you.
I feel like you're judging me now. You guys are judging
me. Let me confirm that.
Brady and I are very dainty, though. Like you would tear into that turkey. I know that.
I would use a nice utensil.
I eat pizza with a knife.
I'm a huge knife guy. I love knives. You know, you cut it up, cut coast.
One way or another, Bogo knows that's a man who knows
that
how to celebrate.
Like
he's eating a turkey.
He's been sitting there all day.
You break out the turkey, you know, the carver. It's like the best on
turkey. Ripping off the leg there. All right, I don't know.
All right,
what a Thanksgiving week lineup we have for you. Tonight we got Steph and the Red Hot Warriors taking on the Sixers. That's the second game of our NBA doubleheader. Then tomorrow night we got the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, big game. Friday night on ABC, we got rivalry in hockey, Rangers, Bruins, and then Saturday night, Bedlam, in a game that means everything, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Put your feet up. We got great sports coming your way this weekend. Meanwhile, coming up, booze for Baker, and he's not happy about it. We'll tell you why Mayfield made a mistake by the lake next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll be right back.
We are back on Get Up. Let's play our game, Contender or Pretender. Kimberly Martin, are the Eagles a contender or a pretender?
Greeny, I think they are a pretender.
What?
I do. You know what? I said that last week. I feel like this is a team that I think next year is the year that we're actually going to see this team in the playoffs and make a run. But right now, yeah, I'm not
ooh,
sold.
We're going to have to have an argument. We may
yeah,
have our first fight,
fight later.
About
yeah,
this one later.
Good.
Sacho, let me come to you. How about the Colts? Are they a contender or a pretender?
The Colts are a contender. They've won 5 out of their last 6. They have a plus 15 turnover differential. That's number 1 in the NFL. And they just mollywopped the Bills.
Ooh.
They're a contender for real, for real.
I like that word, too. They
mollywop.
Jonathan Taylor put a mollywopping on them, that's for
mollywop.
Sure. Ninko, how about the Cleveland Browns? They're over 500. Are they a contender or a pretender?
Contending to maybe book travel to Aruba after the season, yes. They're pretending. They're a pretending football team to be a playoff team. I mean, come on. They were just 500 in their quarter. They're having quarterback issues. I know they're going to get Chubb back. I know he's back. I know all those different things. But when you have quarterback problems, you trade away one of your best receivers, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, let's talk specifically about what Baker said the other day, because this got a lot of attention. Baker Mayfield, who heard boos at home on Sunday in a game that they did win against the Lions, then on Monday had this to say about it.
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate, so don't really care. Yeah, I was frustrated, among other things. I've never dodged any questions or hid away from that, so... it's not about that. Just frustrated. Decided it was best to wait. Not one part of that's not being accountable. I'd be the first to tell you I played like so. It's not about accountable, and I don't owe you guys any of that. I owe that to my teammates, and I talk to them, so that's what matters.
Oh, good God. Okay, so Kimberly, you have been around this team a lot this year, and you know the dynamics there pretty well. When you hear Baker talking like that, what do you hear?
I actually thought that whole, him not talking and that whole mess was, I didn't like that at all, because he's talking about accountability. And the issue with this team right now is when you listen to him talk, it is clear he feels like a man on an island, that he feels completely alone here in the chaos of everything. And this is, think about it, this is a season that began with such high expectations. He expected to get paid. This is a Browns team that was supposed to take another step in the Kevin Stefanski offense. Him and Odell, they were going to finally get that chemistry going. The offense was going to be unlocked, and this was going to be a great thing, and they'd make the playoffs, maybe even a Super Bowl. Except this entire season has been a complete disappointment. I mean, Rob is talking about booking tickets to... I mean, this is the state of the Browns, and I think when him not speaking, it is about accountability. Because right now there's a leadership vacuum, and I feel like when you see teams at this point where there isn't somebody stepping up and saying, I believe in him, I trust him, we follow him, that to me is when teams have issues.
Well, the thing with Odell and his father obviously was a sort of a bomb that gets dropped in the middle of a locker room and has to create a lot of complicating factors. And then, Ninko, you were telling us you observed something when you were doing one of their games on radio that I think is really interesting.
Yeah, so I was at the Patriot-Brown game, and I was doing the radio, and when Baker was injured, I was watching him come out of the tent. And when he walked out of the tent, I found it very interesting that nobody walked up to him to ask him how he was doing. And usually, it doesn't matter if you're a leader on a team. Usually, if you're a leader and you go down with some type of injury, guys come up to you from the defense, offense, both sides, special team players.
Yeah.
They come up, hey, man, you good? How you feeling? You all right? You all right? He literally walked out of the tent, walked around, walked past his offensive line, walked past the defense, sat down by the Gatorade table there, and one person walked up to him.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
And that says a lot to me about a little bit of what's going on in there.
So, Sacho, can they get this thing right? I mean, you began the conversation, you had the Browns, but we can look at the record. They're 6-5. They're playing Baltimore this weekend.
Yeah,
if they pull off
it.
A win, not many people see it coming, but if they win this game, they're going to be right in the thick of everything. Can they right this ship, and if so, how?
Well, I don't think that they can. And the reason why is Baltimore is in their way. And not just once, they're in their way twice. The Cleveland Browns' mm-hmm. next 2 games are against the Baltimore Ravens. You got Baltimore mm-hmm. bye week, Baltimore. The other side of this is this. Cleveland's 6-5, yet they're last place in their division. they're still 6-5. And so you still see that optimism of, hey, maybe we can find a way to make the playoffs. But the problem is you have to play the best team, probably the best team in that division, and Lamar's probably going to be healthy again. And so the issue is Cleveland gets a win last week and you were getting excited, then you might lose and lose, and all of a sudden you're staying in last place at the losing record. So I don't think Cleveland has the ability and the capability to turn this thing around.
The other thing that I think it deserves to be said here is that some things are excuses and other things are reasons. Baker Mayfield is hurt.
He is significantly hurt.
In a variety of ways. That's not an excuse. That's a reason why this thing is going sideways. It does raise the question, however, at this point, would they be better off with Case Keenum on the field? He has had success in that offense with that coach, and he does not have an injury to his shoulder and his knee and whatever else it is that Baker has right now.
From everything I've been told, it's you cannot drag Baker off the field. Like, he is going to want to play. I think if you don't play Baker, it almost feels like we're not that we're conceding the season by any means, but It's just a different feel.
Does it? I mean, the guy is hurt. At some point, does someone you take a
somebody? Yeah, well, you have to protect the player from the player when it comes to wanting to be out on the field, because when you go out there and you are playing injured, which every single player out there in the NFL right now in this point of the season is playing with something.
Right. Here's the reason. The reality for Baker is this franchise, this front office needs to know what it has in Baker and whether it wants to pay him going forward. So that's the reality. Like, it's almost like Daniel Jones. Like, they have to know.
But can you find that out with him in the condition he's in now? Because while I did not like what he said on Monday, and I don't take back a word I said about that, I don't question his toughness. I believe he wants to be out there. They'll have to drag him off the field, but maybe they have to drag him off the field.
But your question of will you know what you have? Well, you definitely won't know what you have if you sit him.
I understand that, but right now you also have a team, to the point that we're making, that has a real chance of still doing something of meaning this year, and they might be better served with a healthy quarterback. Sacho, final word, go.
Yeah, the final word is this. The Browns team doesn't revolve around Baker. No, people don't want to hear it, but it's the fact. They still want to revolve around the run game. They're still number one in rushing attempts in the NFL. They still rely on their defense. And so benching Baker and putting Case Keenum in isn't going to be the answer. You could still find ways to win if you really dial in on the run game and find a way. Maybe you beat a Baltimore team that we saw lose to Miami.
But that's why they have a chance. Because of the run game, they can still make noise in this division because of the run game, because they're going to get Kareem Hunt back. And
maybe the quarterback situation will work itself out. We'll leave that there for the moment. Much more on that as we continue here with jam-packed on this day. We got countdown coming your way tonight in advance of two really good games. We got Kevin Durant and the Nets visiting the Celtics, then Steph and the best team in basketball, the Warriors, hosting the Sixers. We'll start your night with NBA countdown here on ESPN 7 Eastern tonight. We hope you will join us for that. Meanwhile, we continue with another big hour here this morning. The Cowboys, big game tomorrow in Dallas. Their offense in an identity crisis. Are they putting too much on Dak's plate at Thanksgiving? We'll answer that question next.